For the word of God that is written, for the word of God that is within us, for the word of God that is all around us, we give thanks to God. So I sat down to write this sermon about 2 hours after I heard that the Supreme Court had made marriage equality the law of the land. And the news was sort of hypnotic for me. I don't know about you, but when I heard about it, I heard about it on Facebook. I think Sloan White's post was the one that alerted me to it. And it was kind of hypnotic. I just wanted to sit in front of my laptop, refreshing my Facebook feed every few minutes so that I could read and like everything all my friends were saying. It was a digital love fest. And here was one of the wonderful things, a great tender mercy. None of my conservative friends were saying anything obnoxious, which in itself was a kindness. I'm sure they were upset. I know they were upset. But they were willing, and this is no small thing, they were willing to let the rest of us be happy for a few hours anyway. And for that, I was grateful on Friday morning. Now, besides the love fest that was my Facebook feed on Friday morning, the first thing I had to do once I was done doing that was I had to figure out how I was going to preach in response to the marriage equality decision. After all, marriage equality is a really important issue for this congregation. And I think it would be spiritually irresponsible for the pastor of any church, but especially this church, to remain silent on marriage equality this morning. So I spent time wondering about which passage to use for a sermon to be preached in a church that flies a rainbow flag 2 days after the nationwide legalization of same-sex marriage during Pride Week, for crying out loud. But I decided that the scripture I was already planning to use would work just fine for this morning's lesson because this morning's lesson from Mark is the story of a woman who was willing to stop a crowd in order to be healed. And I'd say that's an apt metaphor for what happened to our nation, indeed what is still happening in our nation, relative to marriage equality. In this morning's lesson, Jesus is on his way to heal the dying daughter of a religious leader. And this is good and godly work. A child is on her deathbed, and the girl's father is an upright and faithful man, much beloved in the community, entirely worthy of the respect afforded him. What's more, this man loves his daughter so much that he's willing to set aside any theological reservations he may have, and he's willing to ask Jesus, this radical upstart rabbi, to heal her. It was a moment of ecumenical goodwill in the community. Tradition and innovation were coming together. It was evangelical and progressive. It was dog and cat. It was William Sapphire and Amy Goodman, for crying out loud. You get the idea. Together, the Pharisees and the disciples of Jesus walked en masse to attend to the religious leader's dying daughter. It was a moment of unity. The angels were singing Kumbaya. Until this unnamed woman reached out and interrupted the show, disturbed the peace, derailed the established religious agenda. As a woman, she probably wasn't supposed to be touching a man to whom she was not related. As someone suffering from what appeared to be a chronic menstrual flow, she was ritually unclean. But she reached out anyway. She claimed grace, demanded healing, embraced a wholeness that no one was offering to her. Now, in light of the Supreme Court's decision in Obergefell versus Hodges, I'm looking at this passage in light of marriage equality. But as I do, I hope you won't lose sight of the great feminist implications here as well. There are a lot of feminist implications in a story about a woman who demands to be heard, who won't be marginalized by a male-dominated society, who won't be ignored, who bypasses patriarchy and reaches out to touch the divine. This is a powerful story, and I decided to have us sing Fairest Lord Jesus in today's service because if you pay close attention to the words of that song, You will note in it a subversive preservation of the values of European earth-based goddess-worshipping paganism. Fair is the meadow, which is masculine, but fairer is the woodland, which was a feminine place. And later, fair is the sunshine, but fair is the moonlight. And remember, it's brother sun and sister moon. Anyway, those little ancient feminist values seemed important to sing there. It seemed the hymn was worth singing on a Sunday when the scripture is a story about a woman who reaches out and disrupts the religious program and refuses to be ignored. But it's also really good to talk about this woman's act of holy disruption in light of what has transpired this week, because isn't that what's happening in our society? For the better part of 10,000 years of human civilization, and in nearly every place humans have lived, expressions of same-sex affection and sexuality are shamed and shunned, sometimes on pain of death. But this is changing, because in the spirit of the woman in this morning's lesson from Mark, so many brave souls have reached out and claimed a wholeness that no one was offering to them. And in the process, they, and by they I really mean many of you, have interrupted all sorts of religious programs. As the church was marching forward in the cause of civil rights, as civil rights applied to America's non-white citizens, many of you have reached out and said, us too, give us the healing of legal standing as well. As the church has lent its voice to the chorus of those who cry and sometimes sing for economic justice and social justice, you have reached out your hands and you have said, us too, heal us with the benefits of social and economic justice. On those all too rare occasions when the church has embraced the cause of feminism, daring to imagine a God who is not entirely male, and ecclesiastical structures that are not entirely patriarchal, you have said, stop. Us too. Heal us with this dispensation of grace. And thank God for your bold insistence and for the wonderful inconvenience it has caused. Now, I can imagine myself among the crowd of mostly men following Jesus on that day when Jesus was heading over to the bedside of a dying child. And I might have been upset with the woman who reached out to touch Jesus, claiming a healing that Jesus wasn't offering. I might have wanted to say, can't you wait? There is a child dying. You've been suffering from your condition for a very long time. Can't you wait another hour or so? And what if Jesus' healing power is limited? What if healing you means Jesus will be unable to heal the little girl? I might have wanted for that woman to wait her turn, to stand in line, and for heaven's sake, to let Jesus get on with healing the little girl. And I know there are folks in America right now who are saying similar stuff. They're saying, oh great, now you can get married. Now can we get on with the work of ending racism? Or they're saying, nice, you can have a legal wedding. Now can we get on with the work of improving economic opportunities for America's poor? And why did we spend all this energy when there are more pressing needs? Can't we get on to the more important work? And in response to those concerns, we have the witness of this unnamed woman who reached out and stopped the religious program so that she could be made whole. And we have your witness. The time for marriage equality is now. In fact, it was a long time ago. And for those who think we should have been focused on other matters, let's remember the rest of the story. That little girl was saved. The healing of the woman delayed Jesus, and as a result, the girl died, or at least she appeared to die. But Jesus worked a miracle anyway, and that child, who had been knocking on heaven's door, lived to see a lifetime of sunrises. It turns out that our religious programs don't limit the power or the reach of God's grace. It turns out we don't have to choose between ending racism and establishing marriage equality, nor does the work of establishing economic justice diminish the power of pride. The breadth and depth of God's grace knows no limit. And so, dearly beloved, keep reaching out for God's grace. And for heaven's sake, don't be afraid
to disrupt religious programs as you grasp for the healing, palliative power of justice, of divine justice. For dearly beloved, there is no limit to the loving and healing grace of God.